name is Yimin Shizakuzi, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Damon Squires. We are going to talk about Microsoft Windows Azure .NET Services today. But before we get started, Damon, can you introduce yourself first?
Sure. I'm Damon Squires, Principal Architect at RDA Corporation, a Microsoft Gold Partner. We've been doing a lot of exciting projects with Windows Azure, and we're excited to talk about the .NET Services piece today.
Tell us what .NET Services is and what's your experience of working with .NET Services?
Okay, well, we've done several projects in Azure. Even though it's still in CTP, we've had some opportunities to get in and really get a feel for how things work. So from the .NET Services piece, we had a couple of trial and error periods, and we really got to get some exposure to enabling the software plus services model. We have some investments in existing infrastructure that we wanted to take advantage of, and we had cloud applications. So we really needed to figure out how to wire up our existing applications that run inside our business, as well as taking advantage of the scale-out capabilities of Azure. The .NET Services piece gives us a service bus and access control that will allow us to send messages from anywhere to anywhere, and we can host our endpoints from our business applications inside of our company to our cloud applications without having to expose them to the world and without having to worry about the security aspects of opening them up publicly on our corporate intranet.
What are the benefits that you get by using .NET Services?
One of the reasons we went with that approach was we had applications that we've already developed that we're already using, and we didn't want to rewrite these applications. We have data that we didn't necessarily want to move into the cloud, so we wanted to have the ability for the applications that we're building now to be able to take advantage of the existing costs and infrastructure that we've already built. And utilizing the .NET Services gave us that bridge. We were able to take the existing applications and make slight modifications to them to communicate with the cloud and take advantage of the services offered in Azure without having to rewrite the entire application and having to go through the long phases and costs associated with that.
Early on, you mentioned you also used the access control service and the service bus as part of the .NET Services in the solution. Can you elaborate a little more on that? What is the service bus? What is the access control service?
Okay, well, that's a great question. Access control is our authorization management in the cloud. It issues tokens that allow us to communicate with the service bus and authenticate to the service bus. And it's kind of our guardian against unwanted callers. So the service bus acts as our service proxy on the internet. It's equivalent to an enterprise service bus by allowing us to hook up applications and give them a public endpoint, no matter where that application lives. So by combining those two, we can take our existing infrastructure and applications, give them new bindings that allow them to listen on the internet, and we can use the access control services to verify that the callers coming in that want to utilize our services are allowed to use our services. And access control has a couple of other benefits. We're able to use it to authorize our web applications in Azure, as well as desktop applications, or really any type of application where you want to use multiple authentication and authorization scenarios.
If I want to create an application using Microsoft Windows Azure, particularly the .NET services, how does it look like?
Well, let's have a look. I've got a diagram right here. So let's have a look at an existing enterprise web application as it is today. Generally, we have an ASP.NET web front end that communicates with our service tier to handle our data operations and querying and CRUD operations. So we also have a couple of other pieces within our enterprise application. We have investments in existing infrastructure and software products. We may have purchased a third-party HR application. We have other line of business services and applications that we consume, whether they be partner applications or other things that we've implemented internally. And we have our general data stores for our application. Within this, we need to authorize our users, and we can typically use Active Directory or Forms-based authentication or other backing stores in order to do this authorization. So when we move to the cloud, we have to consider where these pieces move to. Let's have a look and see how our existing enterprise application can move into the Azure cloud. So our ASP.NET application gets repackaged and deployed into our Windows Azure hosting for our web. Our service tier can translate into worker roles within the Windows Azure, which do our compute. Now we have what's left over is our line of business applications and our existing internal infrastructure and our SQL data services, as well as some of the pieces of our service tier. So now how do we move these into the cloud? We don't really want to move all of our data. we don't can't do some of these existing systems because they have tons of information related to them and there's large infrastructure. So we need to take advantage of the .NET services here, and this is where they really shine. Our HR services and HR data, as you can see here, live behind our corporate firewall. Our Active Directory lives behind our corporate firewall, and we don't really want to make that public. But now we've had another request come in. We have customers that are using their Active Directory infrastructure, and they want to access our application in the cloud. This is where Access Control Services comes into play, from the .NET services. With Access Control Services and the Geneva framework coming out, we can take advantage and allow all different mechanisms of authentication access to our application and to our services. We can also guarantee that only people that are authorized to access our HR data and any line of business services that we're offering are allowed to come in. And we can take advantage of the Azure SQL services to host and move our application data. So let's kind of break this down into our three tiers. We have our general web tier, which translates from here. Our data, and our .NET services cover our service tier. But now because of our firewall, we need to get to our HR and our line of business services. This is where the service bus comes into play. The service bus kind of acts as our public endpoint and facilitates the communications between our web tier and our line of business services and any type of existing infrastructure that we may have. We may have existing services like BizTalk and orchestrations or workflow that we need to take advantage of from the cloud. So now we can host service bus endpoints internally on these applications utilizing the existing infrastructure we already have and the code base through some simple changes without having to go through a full redevelopment cycle. And we can guard our services now with access control. So now our benefits are we've gained multiple providers for identity. We're no longer managing our users in our application. We have data in the cloud for fast access and scalability. Our web application can grow to support the needs of the users. We don't have to build the infrastructure to support the one time when it reaches its max usability. We can let it grow and scale as it needs and shrink down when it needs not to. And we can also take advantage of our HR and line of business systems and our existing AD for management.
How you expose the data on-premise to the cloud services and then vice versa? What do you have to do?
Okay, well let's take a look at our example. So our HR system may be using some EJBs to expose the services, and we may use WCF. So we have a couple of different technologies, and we need to make this available to the service bus. So let's look at how we get our services that are behind our firewall to connect to the service bus, because we've migrated the rest of our pieces of our application. Luckily, the service bus just offers simple binding changes. Through configuration changes on our services, we can add or modify existing endpoints. Normally, we may listen locally and only locally, but now we can just add in the specific service bus bindings that are Java-based or .NET-based to our services by changing the configuration files and automatically have them listen in the cloud instead of listening on the local machine. Thereby, the cloud can communicate with our services and they can communicate back.
Okay, what about data? What about permissions on the data? How do you control which user has what access to which piece of information?
Okay, well, that part of the piece is handled by Access Control Services. Access Control Services is our authorization manager in the cloud. Our users come in and they can get an identity from a variety of services, and we simply establish which service providers we trust, whether it's our Active Directory, the customer's Active Directory, Windows Live ID, or some other information provider service like OpenID. They will receive a security token from Access Control Services. Within Access Control Services, we define the policies of how our users can access our application. One of the primary benefits of this is the denials happen in the cloud. Instead of using up our local resources and having to deal with multiple unallowed connections, through our policies, anybody coming into our application is coming to the cloud. Therefore, the data center handles all the requests, whether they're valid or invalid, and all we receive here are authorized requests from valid users.
So what has your has been your experience, and what are the upsides, what are the downsides of you know, during this sort of transition or migration?
Well, one of the best things about it was we were able to take the developers that we have with our ASP technologies and experiences with .NET and directly translate those to Azure tools. Moving the web applications was simply almost repackaging and changing a few configuration settings and small amounts of development. But the APIs are extremely similar, and Azure runs ASP.NET, so we didn't have a large amount of ramp-up time. And from a SQL perspective, you'll be able to take your database and just change the connection string. So most of the transition is fairly transparent and simple, with a few changes to be able to go along the way and migrate some of the service tier to worker roles. But probably the hardest thing was some of the debugging, because some things run locally, and they run fine, and you don't necessarily find out there's a problem until you have to go and deploy it. And sometimes you have long deployment cycles and staging cycles before you can really find out. And the problem with that is because the debugging in the cloud, of course, is not allowed. So we have to utilize a little bit of rudimentary logging and things to get some information out. And sometimes that's a little bit more difficult than traditionally stepping through. The good side is we don't really have to get to that point often because the Visual Studio tools that have been put out for Azure are really good, and we have the development fabric to test most of this. The exception being the .NET services. Currently, as it stands in the CTP version, we don't have a developer version of service bus and access control for us to really kind of try and work on things and see if something's done right. We have to actually test it live in order to verify it works. So one of the other things we run into, because of the CTP versions and some of the tools aren't matured, access control and the documentation around it is a little bit difficult to get your head around. Although we can now get a hold of the Geneva services to build our own local versions of it to test around. But be warned, it is complicated and there's a lot around it to get your head around.
One question I had for you was that, you know, we talk about .NET services. How is it different from other Microsoft online services?
Okay, well, let's have a look at some of the other service offerings in the business product offering suite. So we have Office Online, SharePoint Online, and coming soon, there'll be SharePoint services. We'll have Dynamics Online and Dynamics services. And we'll also have some BizTalk services. So from a nomenclature perspective, .NET services sounds like .NET framework running in the cloud.
That's right.
But really, .NET services is our service bus and access control. And the other services are simply service versions of the product offerings.
As we all know, Damon, that .NET services is really specific, unique to the Microsoft Azure platform. Are you aware of any comparable technology or services on other platforms?
Well, currently, no. And I think this is what really differentiates Azure from some of the other offerings by Microsoft's competitors, is Microsoft went with the software plus services model. So the .NET services really gives us the ability to communicate with our already existing investments in software and infrastructure. When we go to look at App Engine or S3 or some of the other vendors, we don't have those capabilities. And if we want to communicate with our line of business systems or other on-premise applications, we have to open them up to the world. And I think that's kind of a detracting factor from some of the other offerings.
Damon, thank you so much for sharing your experience of working with .NET services with us. This being a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Dr. Z.